Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 45. Today's date, April 11th. In today's podcast, we get into five topics. First, we look at the massive extension signed by Drew Holiday of the Boston Celtics. What does it mean for Drew, and what does it mean for the Boston Celtics? Next, I give you a first-round series that I definitely want to see in the Eastern Conference. Flip it, then I give you one that I want to see in the Western Conference. Next, we go to the college game. I give you, with Tara Vanderveer getting her retiring from Stanford, I give you my top five women's basketball coaches of all time. Remember, folks, this was something that I sent out to a bunch of my friends in the college basketball community and high school community about this. Lastly, we're going to end with Cal. We're talking about Cal going to Arkansas, and then I'll give you my all-time top John Calipari team. Let's get started with Drew Holiday, who signed, according to Woj, a four-year, $135 million contract extension with the Boston Celtics. And to me, I thought that Drew Holiday was the perfect person to go into this team. You know, when you look at Boston, folks, they are outstanding offensively with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And as much as people love Marcus Smart as the heart and soul of that team, I really think Marcus Smart is overrated defensively. And it has worked out because Marcus Smart has missed the majority of the season with the Memphis Grizzlies. So when you look at Drew Holiday, what does he bring you, folks? He is the best on-ball guard defender in the NBA. Let's just call it what it is. Now, and what's good about him here is, where he was in Milwaukee, where he would have to be the number two scorer, you know, behind Giannis. Right now, he doesn't have to be that. He's got Jason Tatum, who can be the number one scorer. He's got Jaylen Brown, who can be number two scorer. He even got Porzingis as the number three scorer. So he could settle in and be that number four scorer, you know, get people involved, knock down threes, which he's doing at a 43% clip, rebound the ball, and provide tough, tough defense. And to me, you know, the addition of Drew and Porzingis has elevated this Celtics team to the point where why they are the odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship, because they got it now with a perimeter defender and Drew Holiday and obviously a rim protector and Kristaps Porzingis. They are a minus money to win the East. They should absolutely win the East. And if they don't, then obviously people are going to start looking at the roster, I would think, honestly, more specifically, at Joe Mazzulla. But Joe Mazzulla has done a really good job this year, particularly getting Charles Lee and Sam Cassell to step in. So Drew Holiday signs a four-year, $135 million extension. Good for him. Great for the Celtics. Let's move on to a matchup that I really want to see in the playoffs. Oh, folks, give me Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Give me Philly and Milwaukee right now. And if the season ended right now, before we recorded this podcast, right, on April 11th, that would be a first-round series. Why? Come on now. Doc! Of course! Doc Rivers, who was in Philadelphia and choked like no one's business. A Doc Rivers who went to Milwaukee, who was 30-13 with Adrian Griffin, and they've turned around, and they've played like hot garbage. Now, they won their last game, last night beating Orlando, got to play them again, right? And then, obviously, the win that they had over Boston, but Boston didn't play everybody. So I want to see what Doc does, because Doc has not been known as a great adjuster. But there's a little bit more. Pat Bev. Pat Bev was with the Sixers earlier this year. Pat Bev's now with Milwaukee, now putting in the starting lineup. You know Pat Bev. Pat Bev's going to run his mouth. So to me, it's an intriguing matchup because you look at the superstars, right? You know, Joel Embiid, who just got back from injury, who is one of the greatest players of this generation, trying to break through and get to an NBA final, right? Versus Giannis, who is now on his third coach in one calendar year with one ring. And people like me started to question his leadership. It's Damian Lillard, a guy that in Portland was, you know, obscurity, now at a chance to win a championship. It's Tyrese Maxey, who's elevated his game in a new role as the number two guy now that James Harden's gone. It's Kelly Oubre, a great free agent signing, right, for Philadelphia. It's Bobby Portis. It's Brooke Lopez. But the main thing is it's Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers. Pure cinema. And I can't wait to see that matchup go down. Plus, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't want them to be six because I'm a Knicks fan, and I think the Knicks are going to be three. So please keep Philadelphia at seven and keep Milwaukee at two, and I'll be okay. Let's move on to the West. Woo-wee! And I think the matchup's already set up. Dallas? Clippers. Oh, my goodness. And why is this pure cinema? Folks, I'm going to call it the way I see it. Luka Doncic hates the Clippers. He hates the Clippers with all his might. And for him to get a chance at them again to try and send them home would be something that has been incredible for a Luka Doncic that's played phenomenal basketball, 33.9 points per game, 9.2 rebounds, 9.8 assists, flirting with a triple-double. Won't get it, but almost had a triple-double for a year. But why is Dallas so intriguing right now, folks? Kyrie Irving's played fantastic basketball at 25.6 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, shooting nearly 50% from the floor, 41.1% from three. Tim Hardaway Jr., someone that can be talked about as the best sixth man in the league, getting you at 14.6. But why this is also intriguing, folks, is the trade that they made, getting PJ Washington from Charlotte and Daniel Gafford from the Wizards. I, at first, wasn't a big fan of this trade because I didn't think it was going to make sense. Oh, it made absolutely total sense because PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford brings toughness and defense for a team that's got two premier guards. Don't sleep on Derrick Jones Jr., also a really underrated defender. So that lines up with the Clippers, right? A Clippers team that year after year after year has underachieved. A Clippers team that finally has Kawhi Leonard playing like a Kawhi Leonard, who I think is a top five to top 10 player right now in the NBA. A Kawhi Leonard that's getting you 23.7 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 1.6 steals, right? It's Paul PG-13 with 22.8. It's James Harden. There's cinema right there at 16.7 points per game, 8.6 rebounds. Another premier bench player, Norman Powell. Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. Ivica Zubac. So you got some interesting battles here, right? It's the two guards, Kyrie and Luka, versus the small forward shooting guard of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, right? But then it's the bench. It's Powell and Westbrook, you know, versus Hardaway Jr. It's Jason Kidd, who's done a great job in Dallas, you know, versus Ty Lue. You know, it's Steve Ballmer versus Mark Cuban. I mean, it's just great cinema. And Luka can't stand him. So I can't wait for this matchup, 4-5, Clippers, Mavericks. Let's move on. With Tara Vanderveer retiring from Stanford, it got me thinking about the greatest women's basketball coaches of all time. So what I did is I reached out to 20 people. This includes a member of USA Basketball. It includes a big-time coach in the Pac-12, now going to the Big Ten. It includes a coach in the Big 12. It includes numerous assistants at the high and mid-major level. It includes AAU people, some of the most powerful AAU people in the nation. It includes some high school people I deeply respect. So here is the top five women's basketball coaches of all time as voted by everyone that I talked to. Number five, C. Vivian Stringer, two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year at Iowa, two-time Big East Coach of the Year at Rutgers, Naismith Coach of the Year when she was at Iowa, 26 tournament appearances, 3 Final Fours, and they took, she is the only one I think on this list, and she is, that took 3 different teams to the Final Four, Cheney State, Iowa, and Rutgers, with a career record of 875 wins and 396 losses. Number five coach, as voted by everybody, C. Vivian Stringer. Number four, she's four now. She ain't gonna end up being four, and that's Dawn Staley. Two-time A-10 Coach of the Year at Temple, four-time National Coach of the Year, seven-time SEC Coach of the Year, two-time AP Coach of the Year, coach at Temple and obviously South Carolina, 18 NCAA tournament appearances, six Final Fours, and three national championships. Overall record of 6-12-186. It's like someone said to me, she's four now. She ain't going to be four when she's done because she's dominating the women's college game and she's dominating it where there's more parity in the game. And think about this. In the last 3 years, Dawn Staley has three losses. Think about that. Number three, the great Tyra Vanderveer, 38 years at Stanford, 18-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year. Started her career at Ohio State, 2010-2011 AP Coach of the Year, three-time Naismith Coach of the Year, 38 tournament appearances, 14 Final Fours, three national championships, and leads all women's coaches with 1,158 wins. What a career for Tara Vanderveer. On another podcast, I will give her appropriate flowers because people say she could be one of the brightest coaches in the history of this game. Even ask Steve Kerr, who talks about how great of a coach Tara Vanderveer is as he would be walking around campus at Stanford. Number two, the great Pat Summitt, eight-time SEC Coach of the Year, five-time National Coach of the Year for Naismith. One school, Tennessee, 38 tournament appearances, 18 Final Fours, eight national championships, 923 wins. And Pat Summitt is someone that left us way too soon. And she was everything that is what women's basketball is today. She should get so much credit. What she did elevating the women's game through Title IX and all the way through, she deserves our respect and our love and our admiration. And it was close, folks, for Pat to be number one. But the number one coach of all time, Gino Auriemma, 12-time Big East Coach of the Year, six-time American Conference Coach of the Year when they went to the American, nine-time AP Coach of the Year, 35 tournament appearances, 23 Final Fours, 11 national championships, and three wins behind Tara Vanderveer at 1,213 wins. Shout out to Gino Auriemma, someone that is, you know, as a male, has done a great job as a fatherly figure to his players and has elevated the women's game to now where they are the bluest of blue bloods. They are the top dog. They are the number one school, as you talk about every year. And next year, it'll be interesting. Paige Beckers is coming back. Number one player in the country returns. AZ Fudd comes back from injury. UConn will be right there in the mix with South Carolina as Geno goes for another national championship. Before we get to Cal's all-time team, really quickly, folks, I have to just quickly address the fact that Cal has left Kentucky and gone to Arkansas. And to me, it made sense for all parties, folks. Five-year deal. He took a little bit of a pay cut. But I don't think he felt loved in Lexington anymore, folks. As much as he had the 35 guys or so, I think it's 35, go NBA, first-round picks. I think he was not feeling respected for the fact that they were not performing well in the tournament. So what does he do? He goes to Arkansas. And give him $5 million of NIL money, right? And think about it, Cal. Three-time A-10 Coach of the Year, four-time SEC Coach of the Year, three-time NAISA Coach of the Year, three-time Conference USA. I can keep going. Six Final Fours, one national championship, 23 tournament appearances. UMass, Memphis, Kentucky took all three to a Final Four. Shout out to John Calipari. It's a win-win-win situation. John gets a fresh start. Arkansas gets the biggest name in college basketball. And Kentucky does not have to spend $33 million on a buyout but it's going to be interesting, folks. Scott Drew said no today. Dan Hurley has said no. Billy Donovan has talked about him not wanting it. Nate Oates of Alabama said no. Keep an eye, there's rumors. Mark Pope played on the 1996 championship team for Rick Pitino. Look for Mark Pope. It's not Rick Pitino. It may have been Tubby Smith, but I think it's one of those two. Look out for Mark Pope possibly to be the next coach at Kentucky. Now, let's bring in John Calipari's all-time team. Here is John Calipari's bench for his career. The guards, Jamal Murray of Kentucky, CDR, Chris Douglas Roberts of Memphis, Tyreek Evans of Memphis, Carl Anthony Towns of Kentucky, and DeMarcus Cousins. And you think about these guys, and you think about their level of success. And think about this, folks. Jamal Murray, right? Lottery pick. CDR, successful college career. Tyreek Evans, lottery pick. Cat, number one pick. DeMarcus Cousins, top five pick. That's the bench! That's the bench! That's not even the starters. And folks, you'll see the starting five, and I left like 10 guys off the list that I didn't put on there. That being said, let me give you my starting five for Cal. Derrick Rose, John Wall, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, and the Candyman, Marcus Camby. And think about the career that Derrick Rose had that one year at University of Memphis, number one pick. Think about John Wall, his time there, number one pick. Think about Devin Booker, lottery pick, like sixth or seventh. Think about Anthony Davis, number one pick. Marcus Camby, number two pick. So on the bench, in the starting five, I think I counted, four number one picks. Every one of those guys was drafted. I think CDR may have went second round or late first round. But shout out to John Calipari. Let me go through it real quick, the bench. Once again, Jamal Murray, Chris Douglas Roberts, Tyreek Evans, Carl Anthony Towns, DeMarcus Cousins. Starting lineup, Derrick Rose, John Wall, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Marcus Camby. And when this comes out, folks, I want you to DM me, Kentucky fans, Memphis fans, UMass fans. Tell me where I went wrong, because I'll be honest with you. I really struggled with this, right? I really struggled with all the stars that Cal had. I could have done fine. A third team didn't have time. But let me know. DM me, at Coach Young NJ, and let me know what you think about my all-time Cal team. This has been episode 45 of our podcast. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game. Props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. You can download it on Google Play and iOS Store. Next podcast will be Monday. NBA season will be wrapped up. We will preview the playing games and start to get you ready for the NBA playoffs. For my producer, Matt George, Vinny Jr. with the graphics, this has been Coach Young. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.